So as we're singing that song from Isaiah 40, that was, I think, the third sermon that I ever preached was from Isaiah 40. And man, I shudder when I look back and think about where I started, you know, and maybe where I've come so far. But either way, that place, that verse, that passage has a special place for sure in my heart. So love singing that. Love worshiping together with you all. So again, good morning. Glad to see each of you. Again, thank you for coming. I know this is not ideal. No one is happy with the situation that we all find ourselves in. So again, just from the deepest part of my heart, thank you for coming and worshiping together. This is, it's great. We're so much stronger together. I get so much encouragement from you guys. So again, just thank you. And now that the camera's rolling and everything is up and running, I want to take a second and wish my mother, Sherry Ebert, happy 80th birthday today. I love you, and I wish I could be with you down there in Illinois. So hopefully my sister Connie and are taking you out and doing something fun and special today. So if you remember in your prayers, just to wish for a great day for my mom today. So I think I took care of all the business. We got all that stuff done. So let's get into today's message. And like I think I said last week, almost every one of our pictures we put on the screen has something to do with the Boundary Waters or canoe camping or whatever. I love it. I know I'm home when that is what we're doing. So, like most all my messages, we're going to begin with an illustration of canoe camping, canoe tripping. So, anyone in here ever been on a canoe trip before? Raise your hands for me, please. I wish the camera could see, but almost everybody, a large percentage, thank you for that. So, those of you that have been on a canoe trip, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Maybe some of you that haven't been on a canoe trip have been on a backpacking trip. Maybe you've gone to the mall and been super successful and gotten a great big shopping bag full of goodies, and you can relate to some level with me. But if you've ever been on a canoe trip, a backpacking trip, ever been thrown a heavy pack on your back, in a canoe trip, you load up all your gear and you take off across a lake and you paddle to the end, get to a portage, and then you, while usually standing in the water, you load up all these heavy packs, and suddenly you realize the extent of which you packed. Maybe overpacked a little bit. And you put this heavy pack on your back and you feel the weight, 40, 50, 60, maybe even 70 pounds of gear on your back, and it feels extremely heavy. Like it is a load that you suddenly put on your back, and then you stagger out of the water, you know, through all the boulders and the mud and everything, and then you go across the portage, and maybe, just maybe, if that portage is long enough, while you were walking, you began to kind of forget about that extra weight that was on your back. But then you get to the end of the portage, and now it's time to set that pack off. And what a relief it is when you've got a heavy pack on, and you set that pack down on the ground, and you're suddenly unburdened from that load that you'd been carrying. What a relief that is. How great that is. And I'm a gear junkie. I love talking with Michael about gear. He's the owner of Condos. I love Condos packs. I love Duluth packs. I just like gear. And that means heavy, heavy packs when you like gear. So I was thinking about carrying a canoe pack in that instant that you first put it on and you feel that weight, and then how great it feels to set it down. Contrast that with gaining weight on your body. Maybe some of you are here this morning and you got a couple extra pounds. Maybe Red Cabin Custard has been as rough for you as it has for Teresa and I. We love frozen custard. Anyway, maybe you can relate to some degree about carrying a few extra pounds. And generally what happens when a person gains weight is it's very slow. It doesn't just happen overnight. One trip to Red Cabin does not put 5 extra pounds on your hips. So it takes multiple trips. It takes a steady diet that is maybe not the best. It takes a lot of lack of exercise to gain weight. And then as we gain weight slowly, next thing, we may not know it, but quite possibly you're 10 pounds heavier than you used to be, or 15 or 20 or 40 or 50 or whatever that number may be. But it happens gradually and you have no idea. no idea what it is that you're carrying around, but then maybe, like me, I've got an incredible weight loss journey that I can share with you, and I've talked a little bit about it, but over a course of about a year or so, I lost nearly 100 pounds and experienced what it was like to take off all that weight. And if you're not as healthy as you'd like to be and carrying a few extra pounds slowly over time, you don't realize that you begin to be more tired than you used to be. You're more sluggish than you used to be. In fact, your mood can change and your body can begin to be under some pain. Pain that isn't normal, and suddenly your mood becomes so much more grumpy, and that pain affects every area of your life and makes you view things more negatively, and it comes on so slow you just don't know it. And maybe one day you wake up and recognize where you've gotten to, and then maybe God will lead you to make a change and do something healthy or whatever. But as humans, we get burdened and weighed down by things and by stuff, weighed down and in pain, and that changes us. It changes so much about us when we're not healthy, when we're not feeling energized and invigorated, altering our moods and our personalities so much more negative. Well, what about as children of God? What about as born-again believers, those that are children of God? I've witnessed it and seen it when we get weighed down by sin, when we take on burdens that we weren't designed to carry, when we begin to live a life that is farther and farther from the Lord, we take on that weight of sin, and it begins to slowly weigh us down and burden us more and more. And then if we're a child of God and we are living that lifestyle, then it begins to bring on conviction. The Spirit speaks into our soul and adds weight to that burden of the sin by stirring up conviction, and that causes pain in our lives. And let me say, few burdens are as heavy to carry as guilt. Few burdens in life are as heavy to carry as guilt, and especially if you're trying to cover up something in that guilt. So today is a one-off message. Today is a different message than where we've been over the last few weeks. This has nothing to do with keys or key chains or key clubs. This doesn't have anything in particular to do about the church. I hope to be there next week, but this was just something that it's a cool story. I wish I had time to share everything about why I'm here today and how this came to be, but know that the Lord spoke to me through a devotion a month or two ago. And it just, everything fell into place, and today's the day where we're in Psalm 32, and we're going to be looking at the story of David and where he was and where he got to and where he became. So the point to today's message is that as a child of God, as a human being, we aren't designed to carry the kind of loads that sometimes we willfully carry, and we all need to be set free. Now, as I said, we're going to be in Psalm 32 today, but to set the stage real quick, because this is an amazing story, it's an amazing account of what happened in Scripture. This is King David speaking. He's writing this psalm, celebrating the victory that he has in God and how God had delivered him from his sin. But to set the stage, David was the king of Israel. I mean, this is David that is so popular, so well known, all of his accounts, and we'll talk more about his life later on this morning. But David was not out in the field. He was not fighting the wars like he should have been. He was bored at home, and he went out on his rooftop, and there he saw across the way a beautiful woman bathing, and he desired after her. He lusted after her. Her name was Bathsheba. And so he had some people go get her and bring her to his palace, and then he slept with her, and she became pregnant. And maybe you know the story, but it's a tragic story of sin and where sin takes us. Next thing, David has to have Bathsheba's husband brought back to the city, and ultimately has to go then send him back to the front lines and have him killed. And it's a train wreck of a story. Ultimately, in God's judgment, the baby that David and Bathsheba had died. It's a tragic story of sin and its consequences. And we'll get a glimpse of David's life when he was burdened under that sin. And then we'll see what happened as he surrendered and gave it up to the Lord. So if you have a copy of God's Word, follow along with me. If not, we've got it available on the screen up there. We're going to be in Psalm 32. Let's read God's Word, and you sit back and enjoy. I will read God's Word to you. How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is a person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones became brittle from groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. Then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you immediately. When great floodwaters come, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You protect me from trouble. You surround me with joyful shouts of deliverance. I will instruct you and show you the way to go. With my eye on you, I will give counsel. Do not be like a horse or mule without understanding that must be controlled with bit and bridle, or else it will not come near you. Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart. Join me in praying, please. Father, we continue this morning to come into your very presence, to lift up the holy name of Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for your word to us and for this message in particular. And Father, I pray that you will take your truth and your reality and you will speak it through me this morning. Father, I pray that you will open up each of our hearts and our minds, that wherever we are at in our faith journey, that you will help us to lay down these cares and burdens and set us free. Boy, Lord, we can't wait to see how you're going to use this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if anyone is here or watching online now or forever in the future, if you've experienced in your life a care and a burden, the burden of sin and guilt, you need to be set free, need to be released from that burden. And so today's message is about how conviction of sin and then confession of that sin will turn burden into blessing. And for that burden to be turned to blessing, there's several different things, several different points that we all need to know and be aware of. And the first is the reality that happens in our lives. Reality, verses 3 and 4. And by the way, if you're following along, we're going to be all over Psalm 32, starting here and going there and back and forth and all over. But for this first point, the reality of sin, we're in 3 and 4. Now, just a quick word of caution. We always have to be careful when we read and study God's Word to understand the author and the context and never take Scripture out of context. And Psalms can be dangerous to take theology from because it's poetry, it's worship, it's songs. And so not everything that we read in the Psalms is good for ultimate, like dogmatic theology. So be careful as you read through Psalms. Always read Scripture in context. I'll preach that till the day I die. But in this case, we see a brilliant and beautiful illustration of a child of God's life. In this case, King David, where he was at and then where the Lord brought him to. So know that before we get started. So here is David, King David. And I hope I don't confuse his name with Paul. I speak about Paul so much when I was writing this and going through my notes. I want to say Paul occasionally. So forgive me ahead of time if I do that. We're talking about David, King David. David writes, in beginning in verse 3, he describes the reality of sin. And he says, when I kept silent, my bones became brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. So before we even go any further, let me hopefully encourage you that King David is absolute living proof that even the most godly child of God can succumb to the lure and temptation of sin. Even the most godly people, leaders, child of the king, can fall far short of God's glory. David is such an example of that. And so here, this is King David, the one, the child that was called by God and anointed by God to be the future king of Israel. This is the same David that took a sling and some stones and went and fought the Philistine giant and slayed Goliath. This is the same David that had killed lions and bears. This is the same David that was anointed king. He was protected from Saul and Saul's armies. This is the same David that was given the kingdom of Israel, everything that he desired. This is the same David that loved after God and worshiped God and saw the power of God and shared that with everybody. This is the same David that God had watched over and protected and led to fight all the enemies of Israel. This is the same King David that God had used to execute God's judgment on pagan and rebellious people. This is the same David that God had built kingdoms and empires, and he was the most handsome and popular guy. This is David, King David, that God had been with and his hand was upon David. This is David. And then look at what happened. David lusted after Bathsheba and had her come over, and she got pregnant, and then he had to have Bathsheba's husband killed, and David just fell so far. This is David, a man Scripture describes as a man after God's own heart. None of us are excused from the consequences and the lure of sin. Even the most godly leader can fall. And fall so far, far away, despite all that God had done in David's life and how David had such a heart after God, he still fell and sinned so badly. He was guilty of covetousness. He coveted his neighbor's wife. He bore false witness and false testimony, adultery, ultimately murder, and then lying about the whole thing. Look at where this mighty man of God had gone. And then even worse than all that sin, even worse in David's life, he was trying to cover it up. He went months, perhaps as long as a year, trying to deny it, trying to cover it up, trying to say that it didn't even happen. And the burden was incredible on David. It was incredible. He describes it right here. Let me say again, there's no burden as heavy as guilt. Guilt of our sins, and then even heavier is trying to cover it up. Trying to hide it from others. It causes pain in our soul. It causes pain on our bodies. It causes agony. It changes our very personalities. I've seen it. I've seen it in loved church members when they go down a slippery slope and next thing they start to live a life that is not Christ honoring and that is full of sin, and it changes them. And if they do, or when they would come to church, they want to hide and put their head down and sit in the back and come late and leave early. And all, I've seen it. I've witnessed what happens. There's no burden as heavy as guilt, and even worse is trying to cover it up and hide it. And David explains here how his body hurt as his bones ached, and he felt like he was withering away and God's hand was pressing upon him. He describes it very clearly, the difficulty of living in sin and then trying to cover it up. So there's the reality of what goes on. That's called conviction. It's the Holy Spirit's work inside believers and non-believers alike as God is trying to get non-believers' attention and bring them to a life of faith and repentance. It's conviction to the children of God. What a description of the reality of what happens. And then second is so cool what happens in repentance. When that conviction comes and the child of God surrenders and submits to the Lord. Look at the next verse, verse 5. Verse 5, David describes, he says, then, after all that tragedy of the reality of sin, he then says, then I acknowledged my sin to you and did not conceal my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. David surrendered to the conviction that God had placed in his life and how far he had gotten from the Lord and from the Lord's ways. And David confessed his sins and repented of those sins. Now, I looked up the definition of confess, and I really liked this one. I really liked this definition. What does it mean to confess your sins? And this one author described it as agreeing with God about your sin. Let that sink in for a moment, because what an amazing description of what it means to biblically, Christ-honoringly confess your sins. It's to get to the point where you agree with God about your sin. We in our flesh and humans, we think of sin in ranks and priority. We think of a little white lie, a little gossip, a little talking behind somebody's back. That's not too bad, but boy, you know, molesting a child or rape or murder, that's got to be one of the worst. We rank and prioritize sin. God doesn't. Anything outside of God's ultimate perfection is sin, and sin has consequences, and it's death, and all of us are guilty of sin. There's not any of us that are innocent. We all have fallen short of the glory of God. What does it mean to confess? It's to agree with God about our sin. What's it mean to repent of our sins? It literally means to turn away from sin, to be walking one direction and then realize that that's sin and turn away from it and walk away. In fact, it means to burn that, to burn the house, and then you can never go back to it. That's the biblical definition of repentance. It's what it means to turn away. You and I, if we're burdened under sin, if we want to be set free, we can. We have to understand the reality of sin, and then we have to understand what it means to repent and confess our sins and turn away from the snare that we've gotten ourselves into. Let go of that burden that you're carrying. Let go of that extra weight and that guilt that you simply weren't designed to carry. And then look at the results. Look at what happens in David's life. What a brilliant picture of the glory of God, of the grace of God in his children's lives. At the end of verse 5, David says, and you forgave, after turning away and repenting and confessing his sin. He describes and he says, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. The results of understanding the reality of the burden that we're carrying in our sin and the repentance and what it means to turn away, the results then are forgiveness. And it's available for all of us. This was written back in the Old Testament, the Old Covenant. And see, sin always has had a penalty, and it's always been death. When Adam and Eve fell, something had to die. Blood had to be spilled. The scripture teaches that without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sin. Back in the Old Testament, they killed animals. Lots and lots of animals. Sheep and rams and goats and bulls, oxen. They killed lots of animals, even doves and pigeons if you didn't have money for bigger animals. The point is, it always took death. It always took blood to pay for sin. But a sacrifice is worthless without the faith behind it that God is God and you are not. And the awareness of your sin and the need for forgiveness, the need for death, that's what always has been driving any sort of sacrifice. Forgiveness is available through the conviction of our sin, the confession of that sin, and then the turning away from that sin. So in our case today, we don't live in the old covenant anymore. We live under the new covenant because God in his ultimate perfect sovereignty at exactly the right moment in history, God himself left heaven, left the glory of heaven and came to earth born of a virgin. And Jesus grew up and he lived a perfect sinless life that we were supposed to but couldn't. And then Jesus, in his perfect, sinless life, fulfilled and completed the law and all of its requirements for us. And then at again, exactly the right moment in history, Jesus willingly went to the cross. And there on the cross, they nailed him and he died. He gave his blood and his life as the once and for all payment for sin. And they took his dead, lifeless body off the cross and buried him in the tomb, but he was only there for 3 days because he was resurrected and came back to life, and in so doing, defeated sin and death and hell forever to the glory of God. And so the results for the reality of sin and that awareness of our guilt and the repentance of our sin is the forgiveness of sin. And see, now today in this new covenant through Jesus, we don't have to do animal sacrifices anymore. We just accept the gift of salvation, the gift of forgiveness through Jesus. Through Jesus and who he is. See, Jesus is waiting with open arms for anyone to turn from their old wicked ways and then give their lives over to him. The scripture says in 1 John that if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Look at the first two verses as David describes what happens. The reality of forgiveness in your life, the contrast between the guilt and the burden. He says in verse 1, "How joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. How joyful is a person whom the Lord does not charge with iniquity, and in whose spirit is no deceit." The reality is that if we will give our lives over to him, if we'll surrender to the conviction of God and confess our sins, that burden that we've been carrying will be turned to blessing. Turned to a blessing and released from that guilt and all that weight. There's joy in forgiveness. There's joy in a life full of the Spirit, full of a love affair with Jesus. Sin has caused a separation between us and a holy and perfect God. Sin has muffled the Lord's voice in many of our lives. You see, the truth and the reality is that God is immovable. God doesn't move. God doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever and evermore. God hasn't moved anywhere. He doesn't change. If you're a child of the King and you're not hearing God's voice at all, or maybe it's just muffled, not as loud and clear as it used to be, God didn't move. His voice doesn't change. Maybe you're the one that has gotten farther and farther away. Maybe sin has lured you away farther and farther. And look at what happens when a person surrenders and succumbs to sin and all of its problems and listens to the conviction of the Spirit and confesses and turns away. Here God begins to speak and answer David and tell us today what's available for us if we will follow David's example. In verse 8, God speaks to us. He says, "I will instruct you and show you the way to go with my eye on you. I will give counsel." If you confess your sin and turn away from it and turn to the Lord and trust in him, he'll speak into your life. He's got his eye on you all the time. As we learned earlier in our worship service, we know we're never alone, that God is everywhere at all times, and he's always watching out, and he has a plan for you. You're no accident. He wants you to know him and love him and serve him and go out and share his glory among the nations everywhere. And if you're not hearing his voice, he promises that he will speak to you. Maybe you're still weighed down with guilt and the burden of sin. So we've seen the reality of the weight of sin and how it crushes us. And we've seen repentance and what that looks like. And then we've seen what happens when God answers and forgives us. Now, look at how David makes a recommendation for all of us. Maybe you're here today and maybe God is speaking to you and you're realizing that that you're slowly become more and more burdened over time. Maybe not like a canoe pack, just all at once, all this weight, but maybe like gaining a little pound here and another pound there, you're realizing that you're weighed down more than you should be, more than you'd like to be. Maybe you're here and you're realizing that you're just slowly more and more burdened and you've gained weight of sin and now your life is marked with pain and a personality change and your mood is different and you're looking to be set free. David makes a recommendation in verse 6. He says, "Therefore, let everyone who is faithful pray to you immediately. When great floodwaters come, they will not reach him." David is recommending to all of us throughout the ages, for you and I here today, that we would repent. He's recommending to everyone to lay those burdens down, to turn away from all of that we've been carrying. Our bodies were simply not designed to carry that kind of load, to carry the weight of sin and guilt, and then even worse, trying to cover it up. My prayer is that all of us would experience the change from a burden to a blessing. My prayer is that each of us would live set free, out from under guilt and its consequences, sin and its wreaking havoc in our lives. My prayer is that we would live victorious in Jesus because of who he is and what he's done, that we would understand what it means to be set free. Look at what happens in a believer's life when they've experienced this in verse 10 and 11, the last two verses. David says, "Many pains come to the wicked, but the one who trusts in the Lord will have faithful love surrounding him. Be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous ones. Shout for joy, all you upright in heart." My belief is that the church is under way too much weight, way too much burden and guilt of sin, and that we rob God of the glory of the work that Jesus did on the cross. My conviction is that all of us can experience a new life, set free from guilt and sin and its consequences, if we'll turn to and trust in Jesus, maybe for the first time, maybe for the first time in a long time. So if that's you here today, I just pray that as we close in this final song, that you will, while you're sitting there, while you're standing there, that you will get right with God, call on him, call on the name of Jesus. Give your life over to him and let him speak into you and do what he wants and needs to. Because brother and sister, you're not designed to carry the kind of weight that perhaps you've been carrying for far too long. Set it down and be set free. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for who you are, for what you've done for us and how you have spoken to us. And Lord, I thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. And Lord, I pray, I lift up anyone that might be struggling and suffering under some burden that they're carrying, that today would be the day that they would experience victory in you and truly be set free. So Father, again, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. And I pray for all of us to know and seek you and hunger after you more and more each and every day. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.